Earlier this week, I received an editorial written by a Gun for Hire radio listener, Dr. John Eden, a pediatric orthopedic surgeon from San Antonio, Texas. Dr. Eden's editorial was written in response to the brutal murder of a physician at the Brigham and Women's University Hospital in Boston, Massachusetts, earlier this week. I thought it would be good for you to hear what he had to say. Dr. Eden writes, "It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. Instead of Dickens' A Tale of Two Cities, let's talk about two commonwealths, Pennsylvania and Massachusetts. Pennsylvania's concealed carry weapons law is the shall issue type, and Massachusetts' license to carry is may issue. This means, in the case of Pennsylvania, that if you are not legally prohibited from owning a firearm, the authorities must, by law, issue the license to carry. May issue means that there is no specific requirement to issue the license to carry. In fact, they can deny a license for any or no reason and can place restrictions on the licenses they do grant. I lived in Massachusetts for 2 years during my fellowship," Dr. John writes. "I had a license that would only allow me to carry outside of my house when I was going to the range to practice. In both commonwealths, the, quote, no guns allowed signs do not carry the weight of law unless they are posted in places where firearms are prohibited under statute. There is no statute requiring hospitals to post the signs. On July 24th, 2014, a violent, mentally ill criminal walked past the no guns allowed signs at Mercy Fitzgerald Hospital in Delaware County, Pennsylvania. He then proceeded to murder his caseworker, Teresa Hunt, and then turned his gun on Dr. Lee Silverman. Although wounded, Dr. Silverman was able to return fire and stop the attack. This allowed the criminal to be restrained and disarmed, and saved many more people from being killed or wounded. On January 20th, 2015, a man who was out for revenge sought out Dr. Michael Davidson at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. Apparently, the man felt that Dr. Davidson was responsible for his mother's death a month earlier. He confronted Dr. Davidson and shot him with a .40-caliber handgun. Despite the heroic efforts of the trauma team, Dr. Davidson succumbed to his injuries early the next morning. His murderer was found dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound soon after the attack. He also walked by the No Guns Allowed signs. Most hospitals in the United States are so-called gun-free zones. Some are mandated as such by state law, Texas, for example, but most are by policy of the hospital administration. We know that gun-free zones are not a deterrent to violence. At the 2014 Gun Rights Policy Conference, nationally recognized firearms and self-defense authority Massad Ayoub stated, quote, "Gun-free zones have become hunting preserves for psychopathic murderers." Hospitals are not protected by gun-free zone signs. According to the latest National Crime Victimization Study by the Bureau of Justice Statistics, 10% of workplace violence incidents were directed at healthcare workers. This translates to 6.5 in 1,000 healthcare professionals being the victims of violent crime at their place of work. Shootings account for 80% of the homicides. As doctors, we have the responsibility to our patients and colleagues to be leaders when it comes to the safety of our hospitals. How many more physicians have to die? And how many of our co-workers will be victimized before hospital administrators face the fact that gun-free zones have the opposite effect of what was originally intended? We must put pressure on hospital administrators to change their policies. And we must urge policymakers not to restrict the good guys from having access to life-saving tools. Those who are determined to do evil will not be deterred by signs or laws. Only the law-abiding citizen is deterred by signs. The noble exceptions are those who take the risk to arm themselves. Heroes, like Dr. Silverman. We should not have to run afoul of the law or hospital policy to be able to defend ourselves and our workplaces. If I had a choice between the fates of Dr. Silverman and Dr. Davidson, Dr. Eaton concludes, I would pick Dr. Silverman's. Shouldn't we all have that choice? A very well thought out and brilliantly written editorial by a very talented and dedicated surgeon and colleague, Dr. John Eaton. Thank you, John. Dr. John Eaton is a pediatric orthopedic surgeon in San Antonio, Texas. He's also a member of Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership. If you're a physician, a PA, a nurse practitioner, or an allied health professional, or if you're a hospital administrator and you're pro-2A, I urge you to get involved with Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership. You can find them on the web at drgo.us.
Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
The weekly gathering place for over 1 million freedom-loving gun owners. The most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. Welcome to it.
Feels good to be well rested since last week's SHOT Show had me beat up so bad. I forgot to say something on last week's show, but first we have a guest in the studio today. Charlie, say hello to everybody.
Hey, how you doing?
How's it going, Sarge?
Good.
Charlie's retired Sergeant, Belleville PD, gunsmith, is certified in how many different guns, Charlie?
Oh, an armload.
Many guns. Like Charlie's in charge of our FFL book. Management, gun cleaning, maintenance of the rentals, and some minor gunsmithing here. We're going to talk to him in a little bit.
And a walking gun museum.
Yes. We are completely out of I do not consent to a search. Nappin gun for hire bag tags. 10,500.
10,500 from here?
From here. Given out.
Wow.
10,500 given out, plus the countless tens of thousands in the ANJRPC newsletter, and Nappin gave away 2,000 at his law firm.
Downtown.
So they're all gone. If you wanted one, you can't have one.
I can't wait till they start showing up in police reports around the state.
Well, eventually. We see them everywhere. I see people with them everywhere. The other thing is Patriots Pork Roll Canteen is running on all 8 cylinders now. If you want to come in and stop by, the food is great. Isn't the food great there, Charlie?
Oh, it's great. I just had a burger.
Burger. We have the Cannonball, which is a burger with pork roll and cheese on top, served with tater tots and Jersey corn relish.
Comes with an angioplasty.
Cut it out. It's a really good burger. It's a great 6-ounce burger. It's an 80-20 burger. It's really good. But everything has been doing well in the canteen, so you should stop by, even if you don't want to shoot. And if you've never had pork roll before, what is wrong with you?
That's right. Hey, I am opening right now my Virgil's Root Beer. It's a micro-brewed root beer that you guys serve.
Yeah, our sodas, we have a micro-brewed root beer from New Jersey. We have Boylan sodas from New Jersey, they use real cane sugar,
yeah.
No fructose or any of that other crap. Our hot dogs are best brand hot dogs manufactured in Newark, New Jersey since 1938. Our bread is Calandra's, made in New Jersey since 1961.
And the Calandra brothers just walked by.
Correct. No, that was the, Corrado
Brothers. Corrado Brothers. Oh, Corrado. From Corrado's Market.
Yeah, the ones who started Corrado's.
Wow.
The elders, they call them now.
Yeah.
They've been members. Pete Corrado took a lesson from me like 25 years ago, and you saw how I hugged him and kissed him.
Yeah, so one of my favorite places.
Yeah, we've had a good relationship.
Oh, I didn't know they should introduce
years.
Me.
Maybe I thought you don't like to talk to people.
Well, I don't like to talk to people, but if you own an Italian market, then I'll talk to you.
You think so, huh?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I got to give Para Ordnance some kudos because they told Liam Nelson to go F himself because the star of Taken 1, 2, 3.
You mean Liam Neeson?
Yeah, Liam Neeson,
okay.
Whatever. They told him to go F himself because he's
should've.
Criticizing gun owners. Meanwhile, all his movies are, portrayed with a gun and him killing hundreds of people and everything. And he says it's a disgrace that we have over 300 million guns in a country with 320 million.
The same week that Bryant Gumbel said that the NRA were terrorists,
yes,
basically.
Yes. And Michael Moore, while he was eating a lard cake, was was criticizing American Sniper. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, saying that, that Chris Kyle was a coward.
So Para Ordnance said they're asking all of their supporters to boycott the movie, and they're no longer going to supply guns for any Liam Neeson
Good.
Movies.
Finally.
And I purposely pronounced his name wrong out of disrespect, like I used to say Bill Clifton instead of Clinton. Charlie, what do you think of the power ordnance? You're a big 45 guy. How do you feel about the power? And don't hold no punches.
No, power ordnance is a good gun. It's good. It's a 1911. 1911 design has been around for a million years, well, 100 years plus. And if you want that 45 with more ammo in it, the power ordnance will do it for you.
They were the first to double-stack a 45.
Double-stack 45.
Yeah, you couldn't hold it in your hand. Back in the 80s when they first came out, they were manufactured in Canada, right?
In Canada.
And then they moved to New York, like Niagara Falls area.
Out that way, right? Yeah, by Buffalo somewhere, I think it was.
Over the border. And Winston's all right, yeah. Winston doesn't like power ordnance.
Yeah, he's just apparently disagreeing with you, Charlie. I don't understand.
They make double stacks. They make single stacks. They also made double action triggers, which were horrible. It was akin to breaking a chicken bone. But, yeah, Charlie's a real 45 1911 platform expert, and that's another
reason
why we're gonna
have 1911s do you have, Charlie?
60.
60. 6-0. That's just wrong on so many levels.
Why?
Told I have issues, but no, yes, I have 45s.
You have, that's right. Yes, yes. 45 issues. Wow, that's great. 60.
60.
You don't have a gun. You have a gun room. You don't have a gun vault.
Yes.
Yes, he does. Charlie's our guy for all of your listeners because we don't sell guns here. Whenever somebody emails me or contacts me and says, my grandpop died or this or that or my next door neighbor and I got a 46, 72, 83, whatever, I refer them all to Charlie because Charlie has the knowledge, also going to shows and the blue book background and everything, and he'll tell people what they're worth. And because we're not predators here, we'll tell them what it's worth so they can go and actually sell it for a handsome profit.
Yeah.
If it's garbage, he'll tell them it's garbage, and there's a lot of garbage out there. I mean, right? What do you see a lot of that's not worth anything, but people think it is?
A lot of the old top break guns that are still around, the old bicycle revolvers. Remember the top breaks?
Like Ithaca, Ivor Johnson, those
Harrington
and
Richardson.
H&R.
You see a lot of them.
You're seeing a lot of those, huh?
Yeah. We had two of them come into range this week, and guys were asking, hey, can I shoot this? You think I could shoot it? And they're just so old, the cylinders don't line up with the barrels anymore.
Oh, my God.
So you squeeze around off of that, and half of it might go down the barrel, half might come out the side of it.
For our listeners, Google break top revolvers, if you don't know what they are. It's an old design.
You have one, don't you?
Yeah, I have a couple. You push the back, usually you push the rear sight up or something over there, and the gun breaks in half. Charlie calls them bicycle revolvers, which is an old term for them. These are guns that you could, if you go back to old like Life and Time magazines from the 20s and 30s, you see them advertised for like $2.99 and stuff. And these actually were really the first Saturday Night Specials.
Oh,
where the term came from, because
like
these were
the Sears catalog type of thing.
Correct. You can order these
Montgomery
cheap
Ward
break open guns. Now the problem is, like Charlie was saying, if you got an Ivor Johnson or an H&R, and a lot of them brought 32.
32 revolver.
You'll see a lot of 32 revolver. You put modern ammo in it with a higher case head pressure, they break open.
Wow.
When you fire them, it can break open because the locking mechanism's not that strong, especially if it's worn out. So be careful of that. We always tell people, too, if you find a gun from a loved one that passed, just because there's ammo with that gun doesn't mean it's the ammo for that gun.
Right.
So
that's where
you would call us up or email us. It's Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, at gunforhire.com, and he'll advise you how to bring it in, and he'll check it out. Because, again, Grandpa might have stored the gun with ammo from a different gun.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Charlie, I want to talk more about that when we come back about ammunition. So how old is old ammunition?
For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappin.com or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Nappin, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
The world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
Valentine's Day is a celebration of love. And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
Your Valentine will love you for it. Hurry and order early.
Are we back yet?
Yeah, I'm in Pointon.
Waldorf Chiropractic, W-A-L-D-O-R-F.
You see what I got to deal with,
Charles?
It's bad.
C-H-I-R-O.com.
You know him longer
Eric
than me.
Eric is in Bridgewater. I know Charlie's in seventh grade. Dr. Eric is in Bridgewater, New Jersey. His website is Waldorf Chiropractic. He's also Waldorf Family Chiropractic on Facebook. He published his own book, Yes, Chiropractic Can Help You. He's a staunch supporter of the Second Amendment. He can help improve your shooting. He can help your foundation and your stance when you're shooting. If you or someone you know is within 30-mile radius of Waldorf Chiropractic, please check it out. So, Charlie, we get a lot of people come in with old ammo. How do I tell if I can shoot that ammo or not?
Number one way that easy way to tell is smell it. You can smell dampness on ammo, especially if it's been kept in the original cardboard box. Just give it a good smell. You smell dampness to it, don't use it. It has any green mold on it, don't use it. It has any real good, when the brass turns color.
Oh, yeah,
patina.
Tarnish on it.
Patina. Yeah.
You don't use it. I have ammunition that I have had. My grandfather bought it in the 40s, but it has been kept dry all these years. It still fires. When I take Grandpa's shotgun out, you know, for the occasional hunting trip, I'll use the original ammo that he had purchased in the 40s with it. But, again, it was stored properly since then, not in a damp basement. You know?
Right, just in a box laying out in a damp basement or in a garage or something like that.
They're old paper cartridges, the old paper cartridges for the shotguns. Paper absorbs water.
Yeah.
Not good.
Not good.
Yeah, you want to really check them out. If you bring your stuff in, we don't charge. We'll just check your guns out. We'll check your ammo out or whatever. We'll steer you in the right direction. We just had a woman. She was a member. Her husband passed away last year, and we bought 8 of the guns to use in our rental fleet because they were modern guns, and Charlie referred her to get rid of the other 2 guns, which had a higher value collectability-wise. And we're not in the process of ripping people off. We're not like a pawn shop or something because I've built Gun for Hire on relationships since 1992. So when people bring stuff in like that, we're as fair. We show them black and white what we feel it's worth, where they can get for it, and the best place to sell it. Charlie, I tell them, there's nobody here that's going to want that, you know, Civil War era gun. But here's a guy or this is a person, and he steers them in the right direction, which is the way it should be because we should treat everybody like family here. What's the funkiest gun you've seen brought in here?
Probably a couple of the Civil War guns. People looking to shoot black powder guns. They want to get in the range. I got to shoot this. It's, you know, it was my grandfather's Civil War gun. I'm sorry, you can't shoot Civil War era black powder guns.
Dear people,
fill up the air system with smoke, and people be walking around with Scott packs on.
Just trying to get to the men's room. Yeah. No.
My filters cost between $4,000 to $6,000 a month to replace in both ranges.
Oh my God!
If we were to shoot black powder, I'd have to change them a week instead of a month.
Yeah, absolutely,
ain't happening.
So what happens, Charlie? When if you get bad ammo, what does it just you just get like a squib load
It can cause a squib load. It can cause higher pressures.
Oh really?
If ammunition was stored and it got wet and it affected the powder, I've seen it go in the opposite direction. Rather than it not firing, it had increased the powder.
Wow.
A power capacity of the round and such, and doing such, blow the case apart.
Oh, my
or
God.
Or split the case or blow the primer out the back of the casing.
Now, Charlie fixes our rental guns here. Charlie, tell them how reliable guns really are when you put tens of thousands of rounds through them.
Oh, good God. They're
what's,
not as
what's
reliable.
The worst? Should we ask that? What's the worst?
Well, let's start with the best. The best that I have seen, least indestructible, repaired the least would be the Glock. You cannot kill them. Minor things have happened to the Glocks. You know, aside from people putting the wrong ammunition in the Glocks, the only thing that I have seen go wrong with the Glocks, trigger return springs. People have, it's not the people's fault, but just from overshooting, and the trigger return springs on the Glocks go all the time. Next on the list in repairs, the Berettas. The Berettas are standing up well. You know, I'm happy that our troops are using the Berettas.
All like types of Berettas or just the
92s?
The 92s.
Tell them that we've broken frames on the PXs.
Oh, we broke frames on the PXs.
Really?
We broke frames on the 92s.
Oh,
but you're talking,
how do you break a frame on a 92?
They stress.
Thousands.
Really?
Thousands
We're
of rounds.
We're renting guns out, tens of thousands of rounds going
right.
down range. So
wow.
It's changed my whole perspective on how reliable a gun is and how much you need to have two or three of them.
Oh, yeah.
To be honest with you.
You know what? The revolvers aren't breaking down. Well, aside from somebody blowing one up. The revolver's
somebody
not breaking.
Somebody blew up a revolver.
Yeah, the entire barrel separated off the front of the gun. It sheared at the threads and went flying down range.
No way.
Yeah.
They didn't do it on purpose. The gun fatigued.
It just fatigued.
Yeah. It blew itself up. It said, "I'm done."
Committed suicide. I'm done.
The next one on the list going downhill: Sig pistols, Sig Sauer pistols. They're just breaking them. Trigger bars are breaking left and right. I'm keeping 6 to 8 trigger bars in house at all times.
Big shock to me. When I was a kid, I looked at like Smith & Wesson like Chevrolet and Sig like BMW and H&K like Mercedes-Benz. In my mind, like you know, looking at it in that perspective.
Because of the pricing.
And once I owned a gun range that rents out guns and I saw how many times Sigs are hanging on the repair wall, I would never believe it. Right, Charlie?
Oh, unbelievable. One of the ones that we're finding that is doing well in the rental world is the AR-15 platform guns. Jimmy and I, just this past week, we have 5 ARs. We changed out the barrels on 4 of them. They just got to the point where they were not shooting accurately anymore. So,
how many rounds do you have to put through an AR before it starts to do that?
Well, if I can comment, my son Vincent, I miss him, I love him. I called him. He's an armorer for the Coast Guard. He's in charge of the armory wherever he is. And I asked him, I said, Vin, how many rounds do you, before you change out a barrel on one of your M16s? He goes, about 7,000 rounds. And I said, Vin, we do that in about a week, week and a half in one of our guns.
Oh, my God.
So it's been 2 years since we've been up now, or just be 2 years that we're up in business and running here at Gun for Hire. And Jimmy and I both said the accuracy's fallen off in them. Let's change the barrels out. One of them had practically a smoothbore barrel in it because the rifling was just gone on it.
Wow.
And we thousands of dollars we just spent on Brownells. Love Brownells. To buy new barrels and parts.
I signed that check. what would be the next gun, Charlie?
Aside from that, Smith & Wessons are doing well, real well. They're not breaking down much at all. We don't have a lot of Smith & Wessons here, but...
All platforms on the Smith & Wesson, or...
All platforms in the Smith & Wessons are good. A couple that are really, really, if I could say, crapping out. We have a Utah shotgun.
Ugh.
It's gone back to the factory 3 times. It's about to go back to the factory now for its 4th time. They're not holding up.
They're good for looking.
Other than that, no.
If you look
guns.
At them, they look cool.
Yeah, movie
they
guns.
They do look cool.
We have, what's that other one? That we have the
KSG.
45.
Oh, no.
No, not the KSG. The black rifle, 45 ACP.
So you wouldn't see UTAS, you wouldn't absolutely not have as a home defense gun.
Unless you want to throw it. What about the Kel-Tec?
The Kel-Tec Sub 2000, it's not doing bad.
Really?
I had to replace a front sight on it since we've had it here to 2 years. It's holding up well. It's a pistol caliber carbine. They're small, they're collapsible, they're fun to shoot, they're easy to shoot, they're not a lot of recoil. They're good. They're real good.
Holding up.
Yeah. Have you repaired the Tavor yet or no?
No. Tavor, the only thing we've had to do so far on the Tavor, what's it been, out 2 months, 3 months now? Cleanings. Just keep it well clean and well oiled.
Now, we've had breakdowns with AKs.
Oh, AKs are horrendous. We just killed three, and Woodland Park Police is going to love me on this one. They got three of them coming their way for destruction. I got the AK, the AKs set aside, stripped down for parts. I have the receivers and barrels. They're going to Woodland Park Police. We're going to document it, AKF, ATF rules, and they're going to take them, and they're going to destroy them for us.
We had to do that with the Berettas, that the frames cracked and everything.
Yeah. Wow.
It's the only way we can to get rid of the guns and get them off our books. Otherwise, we've got to keep them here locked up.
Forever?
Forever.
Even though they're inoperable? Yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
They have to be accounted for. Yeah. Somebody from the ATF comes in 30 years from now, show us that gun.
Wow.
You better have it. How about the HKs, Charlie? Everybody who looks up the HKs.
HKs? The only one I've had a problem with in the HKs is P30s. The P30, the decocking lever has broken on us three times so far.
That's a problem when you have something break three times.
Yeah.
One time can be a fluke in manufacturing or metallurgy, but three times is a systemic problem.
Right.
It's broken, and it breaks to the point where the firearm will only fire double action only.
Oh, man.
It's still fireable. It'll still work. It'll still function, but you won't be able to decock it.
Oh, jeez.
Now, you know, this is one of the big reasons why we don't sell guns here. And we just rent guns and do FFL transfers because it's very hard to honestly sell people guns when you see what the track records are like.
Right, sure.
Putting hundreds of thousands of rounds down range. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, because so you know what people are like. They want what they want.
So we're coming back or no?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I hope so. Well, you know, sad for the audience. We are.
For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers at each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have three times as much light downrange that the average range would have because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right. We have two smaller classrooms, and those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family. So the bathrooms are very high-end. We use marble and corian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
With the news, events, and political shenanigans impacting your freedom, you're listening to Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation.
Freedom, oh, for the people, freedom to the people, oh, freedom, oh, freedom.
And this segment is brought to you by Montville Executive Suites. Website is MontvilleOffice.com. Montville Executive Suites features 38 private offices, telephone answering, mail, receiving and forwarding, meeting rooms, and the ability to hold seminars and events for up to 70 people. Visit MontvilleOffice.com. Ron Sousa's place is in the middle of northern New Jersey, four major highways. For as little as $58 a month, you can have a professional presence in a professional office environment. And he's also a staunch supporter of the Second Amendment with a big heart. So support those who support us. MontvilleOffice.com.
If you're in a business where you do any kind of meetings or seminars or that type of thing, it is so much nicer than renting at a hotel.
Oh, my God, yes.
So much nicer.
The other thing, he has beautiful parking lot, well lit and everything. Again, I want to remind everybody, if you've received your NRA ballot in your NRA monthly magazine, I'm encouraging everyone to bullet vote for Scott Bach and Joseph DeBurgolis from New York. He's also the executive vice president of the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association, same title as me in New Jersey. These guys are the only two on this whole list that supported me for my board run last year, so I'm supporting them again, and I'm going to probably run again next year if my head's clear or I'm not under any more indictments. And so Bach and DeBurgolis. Well, I'm just being truthful about it. Bach and DeBurgolis, all right? There's 35 people running for 25 seats. 29 are endorsed by the NRA, and 6 are not endorsed by the NRA, and they're slipped in and they're hard to find. I mean, if you have one more favorite person in your state or something that you want to vote for, then vote for 3. That's okay with me. But I'm telling everybody, Bach and DeBurgolis, okay?
It sounds like a good law firm.
Bach and DeBurgolis. Yeah.
Bach and DeBurgolis.
Yeah. Bach and I like, anyway, okay. So Bach and DeBurgolis, please support those who support us. So, Charlie, you were going to talk about the Chris Vector.
Oh, good God. Chris Vector, it's a movie gun. It's one of these guns hanging on the wall. Take it out, shoot it once every 6 months. Put a couple rounds through it.
I'm not even familiar with that. What is it?
You don't want to be.
You don't. Yeah,
you don't want to
be. Bad.
And their Chris Company, their customer service is horrendous. You send a gun out to them for repair. We sent it out there once for a barrel change because somebody had bulged a barrel on us. 6 months. 6 months is your turnaround time on repair.
Oh, my God.
Did Walter ever pick up his? Or is it still here?
No, he picked it up.
Oh. Yeah. It's basically a 45 ACP subgun that takes Glock magazines that looks like a spaceship.
Oh, that's kind of cool, right? But
yeah, everybody wants to rent it.
Ooh, that wow look. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to go.
But it functions like shit.
It's horrible. Horrible. Now, it's in the back now. They brought it back last night. They said, pull the charging handle back on it. It stopped. It's stuck halfway between open and closed, and it's like it's a brick wall.
They're probably very expensive.
Tell them about the Desert Eagle.
Another one. Desert Eagle, the 50's holding up.
Yeah.
The 50, well, I think because it's not being shot as much as the 44.
He's replaced everything in it 5 times. But go ahead.
Oh, that was the 44.
Oh, the 44.
The 44 just came back from its trip to, they're in Minnesota. It's just, it went on vacation. It went on vacation for about 2 weeks to Minnesota. It got repaired again. But the 44 mag Desert Eagle lasts about a week. Week and a half before something else craps out on it.
Wow.
All kinds of parts. I have an endless supply of parts. I have enough parts to probably build another gun. You know,
just to
barrel
be able
slam,
to,
barrel frightened.
It's various things that are breaking on it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty poor performance.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, what about shotguns, Charlie? Because we get people that shoot shotguns here because they want one for home defense. What do you feel there?
Remington 870 and Mossberg's 500s. You can't kill them. Very, very minor things going wrong with them. Mostly just cleaning and keeping them clean and keeping them well oiled, and they last.
Winston,
they last
said,
real
what
good.
About the KSG?
KSG, bad.
The Kel-Tec KSG. What does he want to know about that?
Not good. Not
it's
good.
Not
at
good.
All. No.
It's like the Utahs. It breaks. The Kel-Tec, the SU-2000 is a good gun.
Yeah.
But their KSG shotgun.
Another Tarot. Movie gun.
Oh my god.
Yeah, because it's got 15 in each in each tube.
Yeah.
Wow.
They don't hold up.
Yeah.
No, it has 7 in each tube.
So, 15
and
total.
And one extra it's 15 shot, right?
Yep.
14
that's
one.
It.
Now, here's the deal. I know this because in the repair room, when I go in, I look and see what's hanging on the wall. A couple times a day, I walk in there. And I walk in and I see the same shit all the time hanging on the wall. And then all of a sudden, the gun is gone. And then 3 days later, I walk in and the gun's hanging on the wall again. I'm like, what is that doing there again? Oh, well, now this thing broke. You know, it's gotten to a point where we have a track record where if a trigger return spring breaks, he orders 6. If wow. If the site comes off, he orders four. If he orders it, you just have to do this.
Because it's usually the same thing over and over?
Yeah.
Yes. Wow. Now, what would you prefer, gas impingement or piston?
Well, piston's nice. It's clean. It runs a lot cleaner than the gas impingement. But the gas impingement's been around since 1970, or prior. It holds up. It's good. The piston, a lot more moving parts. A lot more parts you have to have in stock to replace things. It's nice to have one so you can give somebody the option. Well, here's your two types of functioning systems for the AR. Try them both out. See which one you like the best when they're looking to purchase something. But it's a lot more parts to have to replace that break down.
That's why we do the AR test drive, because we let you shoot impingement over piston. Different ways where the recoil gases are handled to operate the action.
Is there a difference? I mean, shooting a felt recoil difference or anything?
To me, no. But people want to try it. And some people, if you tell someone they can feel the difference, then they can feel the difference.
Yeah, of course.
Which is, I find that's interesting too. But what else, Charlie? Now, Charlie has a lot of guns too. And what do you carry 90% of the time?
My little revolver, my little six-shot revolver or a 1911.
Yep.
Depends on how my back feels that day.
But usually, as a retired cop, usually he carries a five-shot Smith & Wesson J-frame, which is what he has on right now.
Yeah. I mean, and we all seem to go to wheel guns.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, we're big guys. Now, do you carry like a Bianchi speed strip on you?
Yeah, two of them.
Yeah, two speed strips as opposed to a round reloader, which is a pain in the ass to have in your pocket all
Some
the time.
Some firearms instructor a long time ago told me to carry them.
That would be me.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Same guy that told me. Yeah.
A Bianchi speed strip, and I learned it from the master, Massad Ayoub.
Is that what he.
Yeah, that's what he does. He's been advocating Bianchi speed strips forever since they came out. Sorry, I had to bend down a pet Winston.
Yeah, I was wondering why you're crawling around on the floor there.
Well, I haven't seen him.
Oh, I see.
In it all day. So
did he miss you? My moped around it. He moped around this building for how many days?
Oh, that's because he's a spoiled brat.
He is.
He's a spoiled brat, and now when my girlfriend comes over, if we sit next to each other on the couch, he squeezes between us.
Oh, very well, yeah, because he's setting his territory.
Exactly. He squeezes between us, or he sits on the floor and cries and barks and looks up while we're sitting on the couch or something. So.
Yeah, but he gets along very well with her because she gives him milk duds or something.
And cheese. Right?
And cheese. Cheese, yeah, the cheese
and then
lady.
She leaves him with the gas. So I got to keep him.
Of course,
the cheese gas.
Nothing like a little dog eating cheese all day long.
Charlie, don't leave. I want to talk about carry guns, but I want to encourage some people here right now. A House bill, H.R. 402, introduced by Representative Richard Nugent, not related to Ted Nugent, a Republican for Florida, to amend Title 18 United States Code to provide a national standard in accordance with which non-residents of a state may carry concealed firearms in the state. All right, this was introduced last action, referred to the House Judiciary Committee, 1-6-2005. These are the bills that we have to start to get behind. And a lot of you out there, some of you didn't put your last name, but John wrote, as noted, the NRA emailed the transportation law change to Title 18 and H.R. 131, equal protection in New Jersey. If we have to piss or want to eat, how's that going to work if this passes strictly through the state, tongue in cheek? Well, and he goes, maybe we'll have a good year. Well, John, I believe we're going to have a good year because Congress has introduced three national reciprocities and three bills advocating, if you don't have a carry permit in your state, if you have one in your state, you can carry in other states.
And three separate ones.
Yes. And again, like Knappen says, don't freak out about New Jersey not being included.
Right.
Because, again, we will fight it under equal protection. Let's just get something. If we got a national reciprocity that fell under 44 states, okay, I'll take that. I'll take 44 states, even if we're not one of the 44, because that's as close as we've gotten in ever.
Yeah.
So let's do it. So the other one he was talking about is H.R. 131, was introduced by Representative Griffin H. Morgan, R. from Virginia. This is to amend Chapter 44 of Title 18, United States Code, to more comprehensively address the interstate transportation of firearms and ammunition. And this is an important one because he wants to talk about addressing it, make it specific guidelines going state to state. So that there is no more worrying about the New Jersey pitfalls where you're going to end up locked up or whatever, like Brian Aiken. So we'll have one national law.
But does the language in that allow you to stop, say, and have dinner in New Jersey, that type of thing?
Yes. I want to talk about it when we come back. I'm going to read some highlights.
Everything I do gonna be funky from now on.
Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day, and perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
And this segment is brought to you by the none other from Alcatraz, Pennsylvania. Philly Gun Training, PHILLY.
Formerly of Center City.
GUNTRAINING.com. Philly Gun Training in Alcatraz, Pennsylvania. Jose Morales runs a nice little boutique school right next to a gun shop across the street from the police department. If you're in the PA area and you want to get your carry permit, you want to get your pistol permit, you want to learn how to shoot a gun, you want your wife to learn how to shoot a gun, Jose is the man. PhillyGunTraining.com.
Yeah, he really he's probably one of the kindest instructors you ever want to meet.
Yeah, he's a really good guy. So listen to this. This is H.R. 131, all right? Amends provisions of the federal criminal code governing interstate transportation of firearms or ammunition to require that whenever transported by any means other than a motor vehicle, a firearm shall be in a locked container are secured by a secure gun storage or safety device, and ammunition shall be in a locked container. Excludes from permitted transport of a firearm or ammunition any transportation which the intent to commit a crime. So if you're transporting with the intent to commit a crime, all bets are off.
Okay.
That's cool. NAPA would argue against that because they can stack charges on you somehow. But all right, I'll take it. It prohibits the arrest or detention of a person for a violation of any state or local law or regulation related to the possession, transportation, or carrying of firearms unless there is a probable cause to believe that that person is doing so in a manner not provided for under federal law. There it is.
Okay? So federal law here.
Trump's state. It's supposed
state,
to anyway.
County
but
and
prohibits
local.
The arrest or detention. All right. So now you're covered under this. This would be your federal law. So if you were driving through New Jersey and you stopped at a quick check and your car was robbed, you're not going to get locked up for having that handgun in your trunk for an unnecessary deviation.
Okay.
Okay. That's the language that I wanted you to hear. And transportation probable cause be introduced in a manner provided under federal law provides that when a person asserts this as a defense in a criminal proceeding, one, the prosecution shall bear the burden of proving beyond a reasonable doubt that the person's conduct did not satisfy federal conditions, and two, the court shall award the prevailing defendant a reasonable attorney's fee. All right, and it authorizes a private right of action and attorney fees for deprivation of any right, privilege, or immunity secured by federal firearms provisions under color of any state or local law regulation. So you're going to prosecutor. If the prosecutor can't prove his case, they got to reimburse you your attorney fees.
Wow.
Too. That's how he wrote this. And let me tell you something. This is, I've read the full text of it. I'm just reading you guys the highlights. It's H.R. 131, Representative Griffith Morgan. You want to really read that? These are the type of bills that we need to get behind. And I will tell you, I was at the NRA ILA booth at the NSSF. There's a lot going on with these bills because the NRA knows there's legs on these bills, okay? And people
even
would
with
to
Obama
see,
in the White House.
Why not? He's a lame duck.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to sign these things.
So what? We can override it if he vetoes it. They have a majority vote. And if not, we can set it up to bring it to a point where if we get a next president who tends to be a little more moderate than him, we can get it through then.
Oh,
we have
like
2 years
Hillary?
Of playing right now. Hillary's not getting in.
No, she's not. She's very sick, actually.
Yes. So we have two years right now where we stand a chance, okay? Here's another... world news I want to talk about. You ready?
Cops in a window. What is this, a donut shop? I don't understand.
After what happened in Europe, Europe's police are reconsidering whether they should have firearms or not.
Okay? Oh, you mean like the Wild West Americans?
Yes.
The gun-crazy Americans?
All of a sudden, there's this whole pushback where they're realizing, wait a minute, the terrorists are coming into our country, and they're arming up, and they're killing us, and we're responding with our little nightsticks in our hand.
And they're
shooting at us.
Yeah.
Okay?
Winston hates that.
So I find it interesting that these countries that touted they were the safest in the world and the lowest crime in the world.
Amazing.
Now all of a sudden want to arm up again because they're getting scared. And you want to know something? They're going to get support of the citizens.
Absolutely.
After seeing massacres like
because
this.
The citizens are tired of it. The citizens gave up their right in Britain, right?
Yeah, it
was eroded, the old salami tactic. You just take a slice at a time until it's all gone, and nobody really is going to push back over a tiny little slice.
Correct.
We're doing the same thing here in the U.S., but it's ridiculous. If you see the history in Britain, why we are allowing it to happen, but... The Overton window. We talk about it all the time.
Yes.
Push it to the absolute end, so when it rolls back to the middle and only half your damn rights are taken away, you feel like you've won.
You don't realize the other half is gone already.
Exactly. Because you don't even realize. Oh well, it could have been what much worse. And that's what's, if you look at the crime in Britain. The murders haven't gone down. The murder rate, the violent crime rates haven't gone down. The murder rates haven't gone down. They're just using a different means. Criminals are criminals, right?
You're still going to have the guns.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
So all of a sudden, the European police, they're thinking about arming their next level above the street patrol. The street patrol is unarmed. But see, I think it's wrong because the street patrol is your first line
the first
of
response.
Defense.
What do you do? I mean, how does that work? You stop or I'll yell stop again? What is the deterrent if a crime is being committed and the bobby comes by? What?
Imagine the terror, and this is not only in England, it was France too, but imagine how easy we make it for the terrorists.
Exactly right, because they're all armed. You guys out there, we know we have a lot of listeners in Britain and in Europe. Let us know what it's like. If we have any law enforcement agents,
or Chris Smoot in Canada. Oh no, that's different.
Well,
but yeah,
Canada's
close.
Almost. But
anybody overseas, we'd like to hear about you from the European countries.
Yeah, just
even
let us
South
know
American.
What happens, especially if you're a law enforcement in Britain. What you feel about a lot of this stuff. That's going on, or law enforcement in France. Let us know. I mean, we'd really be interested in hearing about it. We'd like to even have you on the show.
What do you think, Charles?
It's bad. I'm just sitting here thinking about how many other countries are their officers, their armed officers, their frontline officers, their foot patrol officers are unarmed. How about Japan, for instance? How hard is it to own a firearm in Japan?
Almost impossible.
Almost impossible. Yeah.
Listen,
we do it here too, don't we, Charlie? We have, even in the state police, there's only one, you're allowed to have the firearm in the trunk of your car, but the supervisor has to bring the ammo.
Correct. And,
the hell is that?
Stun guns, too. Like
stun guns.
Certified 2 men per department for less than lethal stuff. So if he's on vacation...
He's sorry.
You're not using it.
You're dead anyway, so...
It's as dumb as it...
It was his day off today, so we had to shoot you.
It's as dumb as you can want to imagine.
The whole country's going to hell.
And listen, do you want to talk about the whole country going to hell? I've been saying for 4 years, start judging the judges, right?
Absolutely. I know where you're going with this one.
I wasn't thinking that when I was before my judges last 2 weeks, by the way. I was thinking about them because I passed in the hall one that I had publicly criticized. And I was like, oh, shit.
Well, but I don't get hurt. But yeah, but that's different. She's in criminal.
Yeah. But so anyway... Passaic man, this is from John McConnell, by the way. Passaic man spared jail in severe road rage case.
Oh, man, this is horrible.
Now, listen to this. How does a judge sleep with himself? A Passaic man...
Herself,
I'm sorry. A Passaic man who violently assaulted an elderly couple in Garfield in what a prosecutor described as the worst case of road rage he had ever encountered was spared jail on Friday. While pressing for a one-year jail term for Robert De Jesus, 39, the prosecutors acknowledged the defendant was truly remorseful and that his forthrightness... Because he got caught!
He was sorry.
In recounting what happened, it helped the victim to get his medical bills covered by an auto insurance.
That's what the part of this story that I find mind-boggling is that the judge, well, at least he got his injuries paid for. The guy's 75 years old. This piece of crap cuts him off, gets out of the car, drags a 75-year-old man and cold cocks him, beats the living shit out of this guy.
We're going to describe the whole terror scene when we come
back. Oh, my God. And just because he can get his medical bills paid for because a piece of debris comes and says, oh, yeah, I did it. I dragged him out. Everything is fine now because he feels bad. Oh, God, I got to go take a blood pressure.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise, and although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Ready? All right, listen to
this. Again, you see? Huh? You see what I have to deal with?
De Jesus admitted he pulled the then 75-year-old driver from his truck and decked him with a single punch that broke his nose, knocked out teeth, and left him unconscious in the street with 3 fractured cervical vertebrae.
He broke his neck.
Yes.
He broke his friggin' neck.
When the 64-year-old female passenger tried to intervene to protect her friend, De Jesus lifted her up and threw her into the truck's hood.
Threw her!
Tearing her rotator cuff and injuring her arm and leg. Turning to his victims in court on Friday, De Jesus, who pleaded guilty to aggravated assault, apologized for the pain and suffering it caused him. I hope you can find it in your hearts, today, then one day, to forgive me, okay?
Oh, yeah, you're forgiven,
this
you
I love.
Piece of shit.
In the December 11th incident, 2013, began when De Jesus was traveling on the Ackerman Ave Bridge from Passaic to Garfield and made a right turn from the left turn lane in front of the other vehicle. The move caused the older driver to nearly lose control of his vehicle. He then followed De Jesus south on River Drive as De Jesus swerved in his lane and repeatedly gestured at the man and his passengers. At the intersection, when both vehicles were stopped at a red light, De Jesus got out of the car and started banging on the couple's vehicle. He admitted he had pulled the driver from the vehicle and punched him. All right?
So, now, this is the whole argument for keeping your damn doors locked, too.
Oh, yeah.
And keeping the distance from the car in front of you, because if this piece of shit gets out of his car and you've got distance in front of you, you can at least get around or maneuver your car.
Exactly.
But if you're stuck there...
Yeah. So, Superior Court Judge Liliana S. de Avila Celebia... on Friday, that Jesus had taken responsibility for his actions and cooperated fully, enabling the other driver to show that he was pulled from his vehicle so his injuries could be covered by auto insurance. So they suspended the 364-day...
Wouldn't that be insurance fraud then at this point?
Yes. Yeah. They suspended the 364-day sentence in a county jail, and he got 4 years probation instead.
Oh, because he's sorry. He's sorry, and he admitted to it, and he's sorry. What are you punishing your child for stealing a cookie from the cookie jar, judge?
And the philosophical judge referred to a quote from Gandhi. The judge, I swear to God, the judge told Jesus, anger is like a hot steel rod in your hand. The only one who's getting hurt is you.
Yeah, and revenge is like a hot steel rod somewhere else.
And the older driver, who has a heart condition, said afterwards that he was lucky that Jesus didn't punch him in the chest because he might not have survived.
He got a broken neck.
Now, this is what I find interesting. You see an article like this, and there's hundreds of posts underneath it. Lock him up, throw away the key, blah, blah. Well, if all you friggin' progressives in the state of New Jersey think that way, why are we in such the shit that we're in?
Right, because you vote for vermin like this, and you want a catch-and-release program. So now that the cop who arrests somebody is sitting there with his family having dinner at the diner, and in comes this piece of crap that he arrested 2 days ago and sits down at the countertop and kind of flips him the bird, because it happens all the time. True, Charlie?
Oh, it's unbelievable. How many times you lock somebody up and then they're just giving a slap on the wrist and let go?
Revolving door.
It's a catch and release program.
We talk about it all the time. And as a cop, doesn't it discourage you after
it
a
does.
While? That the judges and the prosecutors cutting deals and dropping the gun charges all the time to let them out? I mean, it's one time after another after another.
You can't have overcrowding in the jails.
No, God forbid. You know,
no.
You know, don't you remember the time that the prisoners down in, what it was, Trenton State, sued the state because the air conditioning system didn't work?
Oh, my God.
In the summertime? And that was just a few years ago.
I reported that, remember?
Yeah.
That was in federal prison or something. The AC didn't work. They were releasing the prisoners.
They were releasing the prisoners because the AC wasn't working. Are you kidding me?
Only in America.
Yes, sir.
Only in America. It's amazing. So this judge with 12 names is quite the embarrassment. Hopefully I'll never go before her. Because that won't end well.
That won't end well
me,
at all.
It?
Yeah,
no,
probably
didn't,
not.
I didn't think so.
Yes, we do criticize a lot of politicians and judges in this
state. We need to judge the judges. Now,
yes, we do.
How would she have ruled if that was her father?
Right. Who was father and mother who were dragged out of their car and beaten like that by a 39-year-old maniac.
And one punch, and to break all of that, man.
Right.
Well, plus at 75, you're much frail. You're much frailer, right? I mean, let's face it. So
I don't know. Ask Charlie. That woke him up.
Oh, you know, I just got one from Jack Giordano. Just sent me a tweet live as we're talking about this about. Something also happened. What's the title say? It says here, gun for hire. Bail cut yet again for Dominican brothers in botched burglary that left one dead in Paramus. You know, I mean, it's just, of course the bail was cut. Of course, this is all we do in the state of New Jersey.
That was that debacle on Route 4 that shut the entire Route 4 down, right?
Correct.
And one of them was killed, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, by the police officer who responded, was it?
But yes, but they keep reducing the bail to let the shit bags out.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But
let us stop to pee on our way to the range, and we'll be serving 7 years in the state's penitentiary.
Well, we've talked about this before. It's because we have nothing to plea bargain.
Right.
The shitbags plea bargain the gun charge.
Yeah.
They circumvent the Graves Act. They circumvent the gun charge. They plead guilty to assault and battery or whatever, and they're out in time served. We go before they were a law-abiding citizen. The only thing they have is the gun charge.
Right.
We have nothing to plead out because we're law-abiding citizens.
Yeah.
Or as Knappen would say, we're all law-abiding criminals in the state of New Jersey.
Yes,
we are all
much.
Law-abiding criminals.
Right. Three felonies a day.
Always three felonies a day. We all commit three felonies a day, and you don't even realize it. Charlie, we got some test drives coming up, right?
Yep.
So I wanted to talk about them a little bit. Sandy, is that okay? Can I get started?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure, yeah.
Okay, the first test drive is carry test drive. We were talking about this before. We got the Ruger LCP-380. You like it?
Not well, it's a good gun. It's a real good gun, but I'm not a fan of the 380 caliber.
Too small. But Ayub would argue a little gun is better than no gun.
Exactly.
Okay, so better to be pinned behind a garbage can with a 380 than a no.
And I've heard a lot of argument about the new ammunition, like the hollow points in a 380 and stuff like that.
I'm not a big fan of 380 either. But
no.
But
just because of you've seen them work in the real world, right?
Yeah. But if you're going to carry the hollow point ammunition, make sure you fire 100 rounds out of it out of your gun to make sure it's going to function in your gun.
It's got to feed.
Yeah,
so it's not going to function in all guns.
Right.
The next gun is a Ruger LCR 38 Special. That would be approved by Charlie.
Oh, yeah. Love the revolvers.
Good. Smith & Wesson Bodyguard 38. That would be approved.
Yeah, yeah.
Beretta Nano 9mm. I'm not a big fan, but people want to shoot a 9.
It's a 9. It's small. It's compact. It's not bad.
The next one is a Glock 42 in 380. Popular gun.
Can't kill them. Can't kill them at all.
And then my old Kimber CDP 45 ACP, so people can see what it's like to shoot 45 compact gun.
We should have a 40 in there. We got to get a 40.
Yeah. See, I find that the compact carry guns in a 40 are just way too snappy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to teach somebody with a gun like that because there's nothing to absorb the recoil other than you.
They're not very pleasurable to shoot.
Correct.
You know, I think, you know, it's just a different kind of recoil. It's just going to.
It is. It's a handful.
Charles, our classic test drive. We have an M1 Garand.
Oh, got to have the Garand.
Okay. A Mauser, 98 Mauser.
98 Mauser's good gun.
What about a Mosin Nagant?
Don't care for them.
But everybody wants to shoot them.
They do.
Because they're economical.
They're economical. They're cheap to shoot. They're cheap to purchase. They're a $150 gun.
Did he get unplugged? The next one is a Colt 1911, 45 ACP. You like them?
Oh, they're all right.
What about the Springfield M1A in 308?
Oh, they're fantastic.
And a Colt H-Bar 223 Sporter.
Real good, real good.
Now, for everybody out there, by the way, you know, we have asked Jimmy for AR platform stuff. Charlie's available for older guns and all things 1911, by the way. Anything else you feel you're expert in that you could answer and help people out with? We'd like to have people send questions to talk back at Gun for Hire Radio for Ask Charlie.
Any types of old guns? You have any questions on any old guns? Values, functionability, working, how they work, disassembly, reassembly. Don't hesitate. Get a hold of me, please.
Charlie goes way back in the gun industry. How old were you when your father owned the gun store?
When he first bought his gun store, he started in 1964. I was 3 years old.
So he's been around guns. Well, let's see, you're 107, so you're
104 now,
years old.
108.
Same age as me, he's 53,
Methuselah,
so you're gone guns 50 years now.
Yeah.
Charlie, we're doing a belt-fed test drive with the 1919 and the AR-15 and the DSA, but then we're also doing a carbine test drive. We have Bushmaster Piston, Seekins Precision, which is 6.8 Grendel.
Right.
We're doing, how do you like the Grendel? Do you like 6.8 Grendel?
Very accurate round. It's good here in a 50-yard. You could probably put them through the same hole. It's that accurate. It's a good caliber. It's a good target round. It's in between that 300 and the 223.
We get a lot of people that want to shoot the Daniel Defense 9mm AR that uses the Glock magazines because it doesn't have as much recoil as a 223, 5.56. The Seekins Precision 300 Blackout. This is the perfect opportunity for $69 for someone to try six guns and shoot a 300 Blackout.
That's a really nice round. That
300 Blackout's great. And then we have an AR-10. If you haven't shot an AR-15 308 platform, you need to, okay?
Yeah.
The one that you shoot here, the DPMS, Jimmy built it for me for my 50th birthday. It's going to be 4 years old.
Is that the one that's up on the rental?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a beautiful
gun. He built that for my 50th birthday as a gift, and it's going to be 4 years old soon.
Wow.
And then we have a Seekins Precision AR platform, which is 7.62 by 39. Which is another, you want to shoot the enemy's round and see what it's like, you know? So it's really, really cool. Then we also have the big rig test drive, Charlie. 50 Beowulf.
Yep.
50 A&E Desert Eagle. 450 AR style gun. 44 Mag Smith & Wesson revolver. Ithaca 10 gauge shotgun, because you have to. And a mystery gun, which I'm not going to tell you. We have a shotgun test drive on February 24th with six different shotguns. We have clinics in February. We have a lot of urban classes in February and March. If you have questions for Charlie, talk back at Gun for Hire Radio. Please send them our way, and Charlie will answer your questions. We'll have him, just like Jimmy, come on the air every couple of weeks and answer the questions. Charlie, anything you want to add?
No, thanks for listening.
February 13th, Evan Knappen will be here. Friday, February 13th, Gun Law Seminar, Masad Ayoub, Mag 20, Mag 40, live fire portions. Go online and get into classes now while there's still spaces available. Thank you for your time and support.
Charlie, thanks for coming on. We look forward to having you back again.
Thank you.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gunfire Radio. Gunfire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Berardi. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, Charlie, our gun expert, Winston the dog, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, we do thank you so much for listening. Please be safe. Remember that the Lipstick Bodyguards are on sale for the holiday at the Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range in Philadelphia at PhillyGunTraining.com and Spring Garden, or at LipstickBodyguard.com. We love you guys. Please be safe. See you next week. Say goodbye, Winston.
From sea to the shine.